Welcome to the Financial Management Magazine podcast series, a service of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. This series features discussions with chartered global management accountants and other experts about the topics, trends and technologies that are transforming the accounting profession.
Managing and protecting your digital presence is becoming ever more important for finance professionals. A social media slip-up can do significant damage to one's career, while successful social media management can be a career boost. I'm Drew Adamack, a senior editor with Financial Management Magazine, and today I'm talking with Kevin Bryant, CEO of the global social media consultancy Educated Change, about how finance professionals can protect their digital reputations and bolster their influence and career opportunities through thoughtful management of their digital lives. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
So when you talk about digital leadership, what exactly do you mean?
Digital is a word that everyone's using these days. They're talking about disruption, they're talking about innovation, and so many companies are trying to build these incredibly interesting and innovative companies, but oftentimes the leaders themselves are not really walking the talk in terms of how they use online tools, how comfortable they are with things like social media. So when we talk about digital leadership, it's really from the perspective that leaders have to be digital as well, and they have to walk the talk, they have to be comfortable and fluent with some of these basic tools that will allow them to communicate better with their clients, prospects, and employees.
As the finance function changes within business, as it becomes more automated, what has that done, and how has that changed the role of social media in a financial professional's career?
Well, in a word, it's made it, or a couple of words, it's made it even more important, which you might say you'd expect someone like me to say, but it's hard to argue with what's going on with artificial intelligence in particular. So, in fact, we use that technology ourselves to help our clients understand their prospects and clients better. But it's the day is here, and it's only going to get bigger and bigger, where you can instruct or you can design a bot that will go out and qualify all the companies and people who might be appropriate for whatever the need is or the project that you might be trying to get support for. And those bots will be working 24/7, and they will go through LinkedIn profiles, Facebook profiles, any sort of digital record that you've left online. And from that information, they'll be able to put you in a bucket as to whether you're somebody who they should invite in for a conversation, an interview, whether your company is the right company. And the most kind of mind-blowing part of it is that based on that data, especially out of the psychographic data that you can build, and we saw that with the some of the things that happened with the last elections, you'll be able to determine whether that person is going to be the right person for the job with a sort of 95% confidence rate. It's going to be that good. The Facebook data in particular, again, lots has been written about it, but we're able to determine to quite sort of laser-like accuracy whether a person is going to be good for a job or a project.
And so that begs the question, if artificial intelligence, if firms looking to either hire or work with a finance professional, that you're creating this digital footprint, as it were, that anyone can see, what platforms should finance professionals be focusing on to help create that impression?
Well, certainly at a minimum, you've got to be on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is clearly the leading professional network for most accountants, financial people in financial management. You know, most of the people who matter to them, whether they be clients or prospects, are going to be on that platform. And, you know, perhaps even more to the point, before that first meeting or that first call, someone's going to do a Google search on you. And in that Google search, up is going to come your LinkedIn profile, if you have one. And so someone's going to go in there and see They're going to find what they're going to find. And so the question then is, are you representing yourself to the best of your ability? Are you representing your expertise, your firm, et cetera, and you as a person to the best that you possibly can? So you've got to have, at a minimum, a LinkedIn profile. And from there, it depends on who you're trying to connect with, how you're trying to connect with that audience. So certainly a case can be made, although oftentimes people are more resistant to have or to spend much time in Facebook land, for example. But Facebook being a platform with a 2+ billion person community, it's harder and harder to ignore as a place where one can connect with people who ultimately might be of value to their business. But I would say start with LinkedIn for sure. Think about, have a conversation about whether Facebook is a place where you want to be. Twitter is a great platform because, as you would know, from a media perspective, every journalist, every media person sort of worth their salt is going to have a presence and is going to be looking at Twitter for news and trying to find the next big story or person to talk to. So depending on what kind of brand you're trying to build, if you're a big accounting firm or you're trying to become sort of more known for your particular expertise in a region or globally, then Twitter is another place where we would strongly recommend that you have presence.
What are, in your experience, the best practices for determining which audience you want to reach if you're a financial professional or you're a business? How do you, broadly speaking, go about determining who it is you're trying to speak to?
I think you start with, what is your expertise? Most business people, and I would say most people in the financial world who have already been active in sales will know the type of client who is most likely to be interested in what they have to offer. And so that's usually the starting place. It's just forget about the online space. Just think in real terms, who are you trying to sell your wares to? Who's going to benefit the most from what you have to offer, whether it be a person or company or type of company? And then on that basis, you can use a platform like LinkedIn, going back to LinkedIn, which has got quite a robust search function. And you can, in the normal membership, you can search according to keywords, you can search according to regions, you can search according to company size, you can search in many, many different ways and categories. And in particular, you can search by keywords. So you would be looking for, let's say if innovation, disruption, and blockchain were big areas of expertise for you as an accountant, then you'd be looking for people who share that interest or that desire to know more. And so you can use their search function to look up keywords, whether it be 1, 2, or 3 keywords, and then get the people who are, as I say, in the right region, the right company size, etc., and distance away in terms of are they, first degree connection. Obviously, it's going to be less interest if they're a second and third degree connection. You can set up your search along those lines as well to find the people who are going to be the most interested in what you have to offer.
And once you've determined who this audience is, and once you've started to build this network, as a financial professional, as an accountant, what kind of content should you be focused on creating and sharing?
So the first principle of social media is not to sell, right? If you start to appear like you're trying to be too promotional or you're trying to sell stuff, people are more inclined to turn you off or not to pay attention. So the first job of being on social is just to start to open some doors to try to engage people in conversation, and to show that you've got some sort of basic, if not high level expertise in the areas where you're trying to establish your reputation. So the first simple way to start is to identify, what am I expert in? What am I trying to bring to my clients, to the market? And then I'm going to find the articles that I can share that might have the most relevance on a daily basis to that group of people, and that would show that I am expert in this area that I'm trying to build an expertise in. So what we often do for our clients is find third-party content and organize that content in a way that heightens their the appearance of expertise for those people.
Once you've determined what it is exactly that you want to be posting, how often should you be posting? Because we all have these social media connections that overpost and turn us off. So where do you find the right balance for the frequency of posting?
That's a great question. So I think, you know, first you have to understand to the extent possible who it is that you're connected to. So understanding your network is really important. Some networks will be more open to receiving lots of great content. Others will, as you say, be more inclined to sort of turn you off if you're overposting. As a starting point, to be safe, if you're on posting on LinkedIn, we would generally recommend that people post maybe once or twice a week to start, and focus on the content that you truly think that your clients and prospects, your network, is going to be the most interested in seeing. And ultimately, the test of whether they're interested in seeing that content is whether they're engaging with it. So if they're liking it, if they're resharing it, obviously that's going to give you some good feedback as to whether that's something that is, you know, useful for them to see. And then from there, you can expand on that basis. We have some clients and are aware of some people who post a tremendous number of times, you know, a surprising number of times on LinkedIn. There's one chap I'm thinking of in particular who probably posts 20 or 25 bits of content every week. They're in the accounting field, work for a very large firm. And, you know, typically we would not advise someone to take that sort of approach or strategy, but they are sort of following a very pure sort of content strategy. All the stuff that they're sharing is really kind of keen and cool, interesting, innovation-related content, lots of video content, which is perhaps the most popular kind of content these days on social media. And the proof is in the pudding, because that particular person is getting lots and lots of engagement on the stuff that they're sharing. So, you know, ultimately coming back to the acid test, is it stuff that people really want to engage with? Is it really of interest to them? And that's going to be proven by, you know, how much they're engaging with you as far as the content is concerned.
And say that you are either new to social media, or you're starting your career as a finance professional and you want to build your network, what are some of the things that you advise clients to do to help build their network? Again, without either being overbearing or annoying people that they may not know.
Well, again, I have to go back to the search function in LinkedIn. So the search function is quite powerful and strong for LinkedIn. And so once you identified who it is that you want to connect with, or the types of people, whether it be by region or by expertise, function, title, things like that, and not to forget also the keyword areas that are the most relevant to them and to your expertise, you can develop some very robust searches that will take you to the people, bring the people to you who are most likely to be or potentially be interested in what you have to say and share. So that's a wonderful way to get started. And then once you've got that list, you can reach out to them. And there's some sort of subtle ways to do it that aren't rude and invasive. But if you see, for example, that you share the same keywords, then you can certainly reference in your message to them that I see that we have similar areas of expertise or interest. And I also see that we share some common contacts, which is also can be quite, you know, powerful way to get people to take notice and to potentially connect with you. So, you know, often I sort of have myself a rule of thumb that if I see that someone who I don't know is connected to at least 10 people who I'm connected to, then it's probably, there's a really good chance that person's going to want to connect with me if I'm polite and also refer to some common areas of interest. That's sort of the starting point. Other platforms are a bit different, whether you're on Twitter or Facebook, it's a little bit different sort of exercise, but still related sort of concepts as you're looking for people who share similar interests. And there are all sorts of ways using search to get a more robust list of who those people are. And then for people who have a bit more budget, you can look at, you know, LinkedIn ads, and you can look at Facebook and Twitter ads as well as a way to be really laser-like, you know, using similar types of qualifiers to determine who the right kind of the right group is to go out to. And then you can, you know, for, again, depending on your budget, you can develop quite a focused list of people, whether it be, say, CFOs, for example, and attach to that content that might be relevant for them, not as an ad, but just as relevant content that's interesting, that would be interesting to them, useful to them. And then from there, you can build quite a strong and full network.
And when we talk about, you know, I want to go back to something that you said earlier about this artificial intelligence being able to analyze your online presence to get a picture of what kind of employee you would be, what kind of business partner you would be, whether you would be appropriate for a project or not. What does that do to the balance, or how should a finance professional balance both professional online activity versus personal online activity?
Everyone who plays on social has to make some decisions, I guess. That's pretty certain, really, as to whether they want to use their time online to be sort of just purely professional or to be just more personal, or to what degree are they going to mix the two things. Now, we would make the case, and we make the case to people, that to take the most advantage of the platforms, to take the most advantage of social media, you'll find it most advantageous to combine both and to really bring your full person out online. Because oftentimes, and anyone who's good at sales and networking knows that, you know, you sometimes make your best connections in ways that you didn't expect. It's very kind of serendipitous, whether you're at the golf club or the tennis club or somewhere, and you start engaging in conversation around tennis or golf or the news or something else. And then in the course of that conversation, the person you're talking to is drawn to you because of something that's just really more about the personal side. And oftentimes, as Edelman has said, people don't buy the what, they buy the why. They want to understand what it is that motivates this person, ultimately can I trust them? And any financial professional is ultimately trying to build trust. And so in social, where it can be really powerful, by social, I mean social media, where it can be really powerful, is you have an opportunity to sprinkle out little bits and pieces of yourself, the fabric, the tapestry that is you. You can sort of sprinkle out these little pieces without being overtly kind of on the sales side, without even being too heavy, perhaps even on the technical side. And these are all pieces that will let the people who come to your profile or to your content online understand that, you know, this person is I like them, they're engaging, I trust them because they, let's say they grew up on a farm or something, and they're hardworking, and they're not just trying to rip me off and trying to just sell, you know, blow services by me. So that personal side is really an important part to adding in the right amount, you know. So like in LinkedIn, obviously you don't want to spend inordinate amounts of time talking about, you know, the fact that you love to ski and you're skiing all the time or whatever, but it's very useful to sprinkle in something about you, the personal side, a little bit about your family, perhaps a little bit about some of the interests and even some of the sort of charitable things you might be involved in. And then it all goes into the mix of determining in the person's mind, the viewer's mind, that this is somebody who I might like to connect with.
What are some of the common mistakes that you see professionals making on social media?
So in the financial profession, there's the first and foremost one is not having a plan or having a clear direction of where they want to go, how they're going to use the tools. It's often that we've have in the past, and it's partly how our company became what it became. And it was very common in the past that you would go in and talk about social, why it's so useful. And they would buy into that, the client on the other side, and then they'd go off and start sort of randomly tweeting and posting and stuff. And at the end of the day, it just seemed very random and ultimately didn't do justice to their brand, to their kind of what brand they're trying to put out there. So it's really important to have a plan that identifies what your personal brand is. And we think in terms of four quadrants. So what's your functional role? What's your particular expertise is quadrant two. What's the personal side of your life that might be relevant to people who you're trying to connect with? And then last but not least, what is this sort of legacy piece? How are you going to leave the world a better place? So that's the first kind of starting point, is to make sure that you understand all of that, and then that you put that into both sort of your profiles and then into the content that you share. The content should sort of represent all, you know, sort of aspects of that personal brand, with a particular emphasis, of course, on what your functional role is and what your particular area of expertise is. Okay, so that's that. So you must have a plan, and also, of course, to your other question, deciding how frequently you're going to post. You know, what's the mix of posting from personal to kind of professional types of things, and then how are you going to measure success? So that's another key part. It's one thing to have a plan, but then it's a you know, really important to determine: am I being successful? Am I sharing content that people are wanting to engage with? Which we can, of course, followed by according to likes and reshares and click rates and things like that. So it's important to follow how am I doing? How am I proceeding? And then the other sort of pitfalls are more around sort of the regulatory, legal, and reputational side of things. And rather than, because there's not really time to go in detail here, the first order of business for someone who wants to be active is to make sure they understand what their corporate policies are in this regard as it relates to social media. If there isn't a corporate policy or procedures around it, then clearly that's something that has to be developed. And most of the regulatory bodies, I would say all the regulatory bodies that we've come into contact with, have very sort of precise, fairly clear standards around independence and, you know, whether you've got to save everything that you post, if you're making, if you're communicating with clients, et cetera, et cetera. So make sure that you understand all of that, because there's, you know, every week or two, there's a story of somebody who posted about a client or a company, or, you know, got themselves into trouble because they started talking about a very controversial topic, that whether it be, you know, political or otherwise, and it comes back to bite them. So that's really critical to understand as well.
So Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my great pleasure, Andrew. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Drew Adamek, a senior editor with Financial Management Magazine, and I've been talking with Kevin Bryant, CEO of Educated Change. To comment on this podcast or to suggest ideas for others, please email me at andrew.adamak@aicpa-sema.com.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the association, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The association, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.